hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And you know, last week we spoke with Dive Master Phil Nico. He's like a rock star diver. He lives down there in West Palm Beach, and he dives around the world, and he's been chiming in with us here lately, connected via the web. Phil, first of all, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. You know, I still keep my day job.
Let's talk about something that happened after we spoke last week about your dive adventure in Palau. You called me up the other day, and you said, hey, man, I went down on a local dive here in West Palm Beach. Or actually, it was Jupiter, right?
Right outside of the Jupiter Inlet on what we call the Trek Wreck. It's a string of wrecks just outside of the Jupiter Inlet.
And you planned your dive, but I don't know, you tried to dive your plan, but you had an equipment malfunction. Is that right?
Well, you know, we've been asking, was it the operator or the carburetor? And after we go through this, I think we'll both agree that it was the operator, not the carburetor.
Hmm.
So what happened to me was at about 80 feet on the second wreck. We were looking at a beautiful tiger shark that was just kind of gallivanting by amid the aggregation of Goliath groupers at the wreck. I mean, can you just picture how beautiful and what an incredible dive that was with a nice, I'd say about a knot and a quarter current. Hmm. And it was 20 minutes into the dive, Greg.
Yeah.
And I went to put a little more air in my BC at about 80 feet just to make my buoyancy, try to get it even more perfect than maybe it was before.
Okay.
And there was no air came in. And I looked down, and the low-pressure hose had come off of my quacker, which the quacker's connected to the BC. So I have, you know, an extra step there. I go from the low-pressure hose to the quacker to the BC, if you can follow me on that.
Got it. Okay, so just to paint a picture for people not familiar, his quacker would be one of these dive alert systems.
Underwater, yeah, sound maker.
They quack underwater. On the surface, they make kind of like an air horn type sound.
So I can imitate it if you want. No, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. They just quacker sounds good. It's weird. Underwater, it does like meh, meh. Yeah, it's kind of a interesting little sound. But they're good emergency devices to have on your yourself if you need it at the surface or underwater to alert your buddy and that kind of thing. But so it came disconnected at where it connects to your low pressure hose, and so you realize now you don't have a way to inflate your BC, I guess, right?
Right. I could have done it manually, blown it up and that manually, but that, you know, at that point my goal was to just stick it back in, which mm-hmm. you know, I've it's happened before, not in the same situation, but I know you can just put it back in even with the tank on.
Right.
You're going to have some resistance and some pressure. So I did it. It wouldn't go in. So then I took the quacker off the BC, and then I no, that's not what I did. The quacker was in, and then I tried to jam it. And when I jammed it, I created a free flow situation with the low pressure hose.
Mm.
And I started free flowing at about 1700 PSI.
Ouch. And that hose is like whipping around, or you got your hand on it, I guess, or what?
I've got my hand on it, but mm-hmm. you know, at that point, you know, you've got a certain degree of panic.
Right.
That you know, that didn't overtake me, but it was that feeling that, you know, that you get. And there was bubbles everywhere, and it was hard to see, excuse me, And my dive buddy saw me, came over, he tried to fix it, he tried to jam it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did that, that's what I meant with the quacker. We took the quacker out, and when we took it off, it fell down to about 90 feet.
Mm.
Now, that'll come into play in a minute.
Okay.
He tried to stop it with his thumb, you know, the free flow. It wouldn't go. He made the signal like, you've got to go up. We've got to go up.
Right.
So we, at that point, immediately aborted the dive. And I've got a wireless transmitter watch that reads my air, but it only cycles every 30 seconds. So I was then in my mind, you start to worry and you start to get a little panicky.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how much air I had, but I do have an SPG that's manual that's hardwired to my first stage. So
right.
I did have that, but there was so much bubbles flowing around. It was hard to find it. It was hard to see it. It was just all happening at the same time, if you can imagine. So I started to go up. I went up a little fast. My watch started screaming at me. I got control of myself. I went from about 74 to 46 in about a minute, which is a little fast.
Yeah,
but
a little.
But and then Tad, my dive buddy, went to go get the quacker, which fell, which he never found because someone else picked it up somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know till we got back on the boat.
Right.
But then he ended up having a reverse squeeze and couldn't join me.
Ah.
So there I was by myself. I thought he was continuing the dive, and I thought to myself, man, that's pretty cold.
Or the tiger shark that was checking out the grouper had circled back around and like, hey, there's another free morsel. I could, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? At about 46 feet, I'd gotten control of myself. I was able to, you know, grab my SPG and see it. And I the air was definitely going down. But from about 1300, when I started my ascent, to the surface, it was about a three-minute ride. I blew my safety stop. I was there for about a minute,
mm-hmm.
at 15 feet, and it was like 500 and going down. And I wanted to have some air at the surface because I wasn't sure where the boat was because I was coming up prematurely.
Right.
But I did have enough time to deploy my safety marker buoy, which in South Florida is important. For me, it is because there's a lot of boat traffic, and I was coming up early. And no one's expecting a diver to pop up at that point. So I was able to take my free-flowing hose and actually use that air for my SMB. So it wasn't a complete loss of air, right?
Right, right. You got some use out of it. And,
yeah.
But the bottom line here is stuff can happen sometimes. In a rare instance, your equipment can malfunction like that. And as a dive master yourself, you know the rules. You got to stop, think, and react, and that's what you did. You didn't panic, because that's the first thing most people would do, especially, yeah, your emotions start racing. You're at 80 feet, and you're realizing you're free-flowing. You're losing your air pressure very quickly, and you got to make a plan and execute it quickly and just kind of get into that mindset so you stay out of a panic mode and get yourself into serious trouble, correct?
Yes. You know, and I thought in my... I was pretty sure that I had enough air, but I wasn't sure. You know, low pressure free flows are faster than high pressure free flows. Mm. You know, you read that in a book or an article,
right?
But then, and when you're until you're really into it, doesn't hit home. So this was a faster flow, but I guess it took about 4 minutes to free flow. I'm going to say 1500 psi.
Hmm.
So, you know, you can use that at 80, at 80 feet.
Right.
Which
is now, fairly deep. I mean, there's a lot of bad things can happen, and you had to stop and react pretty quickly. You didn't have a lot of time to screw around and decide what are you going to do. You had to make a plan and go for it. Did a controlled emergency ascent, so to speak, and had your buddy in sight there, and he was trying to help you, but you got to the surface. You didn't panic, and that was the main thing. And I guess it kind of drills home the element of having an extra air pressure gauge if you're using a computer. I dive the same way. I have an analog gauge with me at all times, even when I'm using my dive computers. And and then the other thing, I guess the other element is if you forget your hose or connected or it comes off, just leave it alone for the dive and plan on inflating your BC orally.
It's a really good point because none of this would have happened if I would have just been, oh, okay.
But you ended up having to cancel your dive. So,
right.
But I guess I wanted to share that story so other people could learn from it or maybe, you know, just make a mental note. So if that happens.
One thing I would like to add, you know, I'm holding in my hand the Paddy Dive Master cards, and it says the pre-dive safety check. Remember, BWARF?
Yes.
Not BARF, but BWARF.
Right.
Your BCD, your weights, your releases, your air, and your final okay. So we were debriefing about this. My dive buddy and I are definitely going to be rechecking our gear. Pre-dive safety check is important. And, you know, a lot of experienced divers blow off the fundamentals. And I think that's the teachable moment here.
Absolutely. Begin with review and friend. That's how I remember it. So there you go. Or BRARF.
BRARF.
All right. Good stuff. Learning from Phil's. You know, not mistakes, but incidents. There you go. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Charlene, a.k.a. Champagne, coming to you live from the Spice Island of Grenada. I've also been crowned the Scuba Radio Mermaid for 2010. You're listening to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here's my good buddy who never touched my tail in Grenada or anywhere on the planet, Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio.
Hiding girl, you're beautiful girl, and I wanna see your dreams unfurl, and I'd love to see smiling in the sun.
Very sexy.
Ooh,
they may call them bathing suits, but those bikinis aren't big enough to patch a roach burn in my jeans. La 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 la.
I don't know why you'd want to do that. Maybe they can do that in Grenada and get away with it because it's another country and they have no rules. So I don't know. We'll have to ask Peter and Galinda from Aquanauts Grenada about that someday. Maybe at the Dima Show in November. We'll catch up with a lot of our dive industry friends, and of course feature them right here on the big show that we broadcast from the exhibit show floor. But you know, let's get back to the present. On the web with me right now, I have my good buddy Eric Douglas, who is a author, a novelist, a diver, you name it, he's done it. And Eric is on via the web today on Scuba Radio. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Greg. Great to hear from you, pal.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like you're in the studio with me, yet you are in, like, what, North Carolina right now, right?
No. Where? I'm in West Virginia.
West Virginia. North Carolina, West Virginia, tomato, tomato, you know.
You know, you can be excused for North Carolina because I lived there for an awfully long time.
Right. It takes me a while to catch up in that regard. Yeah. But it sounds like you're right here with me.
I'm right there beside you in spirit.
We get this new technology. It allows us to connect with everybody around the world and make it sound like they're in the studio with us, even though they're not. So we get the benefits of being together without the smells.
So much better than those dropped phone calls on cell phones and all that, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes. We can pick up the nuance, the energy that we're trying to capture, and our love for diving as you express yourself about your last dive, let's start right there. I mean, I know you're always getting inspiration for your books, and we'll get to that in just a bit, but have you done any diving lately, Eric?
You know, I have to say that I was diving, it's been a couple weeks, but just a couple weeks ago I was in the water, doing a very, very cool dive, but not for the reasons you might think. I wasn't diving with great whites or manta rays or anything like that. I was actually diving with my dad. It was 2 days after his 76th birthday.
Ah, wow.
And we went to Somersville Lake here in West Virginia. It's actually the lake I learned to dive in originally back in 1990. So that you can do the math. But I actually did my first 60 open water dives in that lake before I ever dived in the ocean.
Yeah.
But Dad and I went up there and just did a couple fun little dives just to blow some bubbles and remember what it's like.
Well, how about that? So that was actually on his birthday, or this was
it was 2 days after. His birthday was on Thursday, and we ran up Saturday morning and made the dives.
Okay, but, now it was his 76th birthday celebration dive. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly what it was.
So you took him to a lake as opposed to, hey, let's go to Fiji or someplace.
Well, you know, the birthday budgets aren't what they used to be, shall we?
Yeah, Dad, I'm an author. I'm a struggling artist here. You gotta help a son out now and then. But no, absolutely. It's all about the love of diving. Doesn't matter where you're at. You're blowing bubbles. You're having fun.
You know, and the cool part about that is just, you know, sharing it across the generations is being able to diving with your dad. I mean, that's kind of cool to begin with. But
it is,
and you know, and I tell you what, he's 76 years old, and I hope I have half as much energy as he does. I wish I had that much energy now, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, he's still just kicking it.
That's nice. You know, and that's one of the cool things about diving. You really don't have to be a physical specimen of, like, you know, heroic proportions, even though we would like to project that. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, we all like to think we are.
Exactly. Trust me, we are serious badasses when it comes to being a scuba diver. Don't get me wrong. However, the reality is that you can go well into your advanced years and still be able to enjoy your diving activities. And, you know, and I guess your dad is proof of it.
You can make diving as either adventurous or as relaxing as you want. It kind of depends on your mood of the day. You know, you can do the 300-foot dive on a snorkel if you want, or you can do 30-foot, 40-foot dives in the local mountain lake and just, yeah, kind of puddle around and blow bubbles and chase fish. And there's actually a about 30-foot boat that's been sunk in the lake specifically for divers to crawl around on. So, you know, we went and cruised on that. And
yeah.
Actually, I had just gotten a new GoPro, so I shot a little GoPro video of diving with Dad.
That's cool. Very cool. And, I mean, is he diving much these days, or was that kind of a rarity for him?
He actually, the funny thing was, when I moved to California, he wasn't a diver at that time. He decided to learn to dive after I moved away. So the first dive we made together was in the Coronado Islands in California. Hmm. And then he actually got into it so much, he became a dive master. He, you know, in his 60s, decided to chase the dream and become a dive master. He doesn't dive as much as he used to. It's a few dives a year now is about all he gets in the water for. But, Yeah, he still gets wet. He's actually big into trout fishing now, so he's easing into his retirement, shall we say.
Well, there you go. West Virginia lake diving right now, water temp was probably fairly reasonable, wasn't it?
First 20-25 feet was mid to upper 70s.
Well, there you go. And then you hit the thermocline. Yeah.
Yeah, and the bottom drops out a little bit.
Yeah.
We didn't go deeper than about 45 because much below that, it gets back into the 50s and 60s. Mm. But the top, I was diving in a 3 mil, but it was, I never even got remotely chilled.
Yeah. Well, but you hit a thermocline around 25 feet.
Yeah. It starts cooling off a little bit about 25 feet.
Yeah.
But it gets worse about 50.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. I could probably deal with that. At this point, with a 3 mil for sure. But yeah, that's cool. You're getting out there doing a little bit of diving in between all your writing activities, which you've just been doing tons of stuff. You're doing short stories. You're doing, these big novels and things. This is like your full time thing now, right, Eric?
It's my full time gig now, and it's been a lot of fun. I actually just got profiled in the State Journal, which is a business newspaper up here, that talking about me being a scuba diver in West Virginia, as a matter of fact. But I just released my fifth novel a few months ago, the fifth of the Dive Adventure Mike Scott series. And this one, actually, for what it's worth, starts in West Virginia and then takes off into the Mayan Riviera, into Tulum, Mexico, into the cenotes in Mexico.
Nice.
And working on a new short story, should actually have that out in the next month or so. That's the Withrow Key series. I did a whole series of short stories set in my own little fictional key in the Florida Keys. So, yeah, I'm just living the dream and having some fun.
Booksbyeric.com. You got to go there and check out more information. But, Eric, hold the line, because I want to find out where you're getting inspiration from these stories. Because I have a feeling all his years in the dive industry has just led to this. And now we're finally finding out what he's really been up to all these years. That's coming up next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm talking to Eric Douglas, my good friend from the dive industry for many, many years. He used to work at Divers Alert Network, and now he does a little bit of thing. I mean, he does a little bit of industry stuff here and there, but his main focus is on writing novels that have, they have a character that dives a lot. Mike Scott is his name. He's like better than that dude in The Bourne Identity, Jason Bourne, way better, a cooler character for us scuba divers that we can relate to. Right, Eric?
I was going to say, I don't think he's a super agent who's lost his memory, but other than that, he's much cooler than Jason
Bourne. Well, he is. He's just an adventure kind of guy. He's a journalist, travels around the world, dives, and he gets into trouble wherever he goes, and then he finds a way to battle the enemy and win. And it's all this covert kind of stuff he gets wrapped up into. And I read some of these stories and I'm thinking, I think Eric had a secret life that he wasn't telling us about back in the day. Is there any truth to this, Eric? And I know you get it asked all the time from people that read your books, but come on, fess up.
There are still statutes of limitations on some of that stuff, and I really just can't answer that question.
Okay. Spoken like a true author. Exactly. But you have to read these books. They are very entertaining. Great reads. I've said this to you before, Eric. That series, that Mike Scott series, definitely reads like a movie. I mean, you could definitely, when you read the book, I just feel like I'm watching a movie. You know what I'm saying? A kind of a cool adventure, thriller type of movie.
I will take that as an ultimate compliment. That's how I see them myself, frankly.
Well, are you getting any interest from Hollywood? I mean, you wrote Flooding Hollywood, for Christ's sake.
I wrote Flooding Hollywood. You know what? Actually, what's interesting, and I don't know why, that book's been selling really well recently. I keep a pretty close tab on my book sales.
Right.
And for some reason, that book's been selling well. So I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there who's nibbling on it. But no, I actually did have a conversation you know how the industry goes, or how the film industry goes. People talk, and then it never comes to anything. So I did have a conversation with some people who were talking to me about making a film, but nothing's materialized yet. I haven't been signing any contracts yet.
Well, we'll see. It's only a matter of time, I have no doubt. Once again, booksbyeric.com. Go there, find out more about his novels and much, much more about our good friend Eric Douglas. All right, more coming up right after the Dan Tip.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio Divers Consumer Tip Number 88. Although the odds are against you in finding buried treasure on your next dive, there is a better than average chance you will see a sunken chest belonging to a weathered old sea hag giving you the stink eye from across the dive boat.
It's terrible! She has beautiful eyes and her hair smells like cinnamon!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What are you working on over there, Nick?
Just a list of things I'll need when I go diving tomorrow.
Ah, the old checklist. Gear, first aid kit, oxygen unit.
Nope, different list.
Oh, so you're working on dive planning, making sure your gear is ready, having an emergency plan.
Nope. Different list. All of that is important to be sure, but do you realize how many non-diving elements there are that become essential to a good day of diving?
Not really. Can't say I ever gave it much thought, but now that you mention it, I guess there are. I mean, water is the first one that popped into my mind, because if you get dehydrated, we all know that can ruin a good day.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Water's an excellent example.
Yep, that's a good one. I know they don't call me Lobster Boy for nothing, and it sucks when it happens. Few things are more uncomfortable than a wetsuit on a sunburn.
Ooh, you said it. Not to mention the safety element. The discomfort of a wetsuit-coated sunburn can keep you distracted, which is not a good way to dive safe.
Sunscreen can make you a safer diver. Who knew? So along those lines, I'd have to add a hat or visor to the list of non-dive stuff that can contribute to dive safety.
Hats and visors help to prevent both sunburn and other heat-related illnesses, so yes. But add t-shirts to the list as well.
How about a change of dry clothes in general?
That's a good one, especially if it's chilly out of the water. You want to make sure you stay warm between dives.
No hypothermia here.
Excellent. I guess you should include a towel with that, since it can also double as a wrap if you don't want to use it to dry off.
Towel, check. All right, you know, going back to the water and hydration, I think we need snacks too.
Good plan. Snacks help to keep you fueled and energized, which helps you from becoming overtired in the water. Definitely a contributor to safety.
I've got one more.
What's that?
You should have your Dan card.
And with that, you are number one on my list.
Of course. As careful as divers are about their dive planning and preparation, it's important to remember the non-diving elements that contribute to a safe and happy day. So take an extra minute to pack that hat and apply that sunscreen. They could be the difference between a problem avoided and a problem to solve. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
You know, we are experimenting with our new technology. It allows us to connect with people around the world with these live mics and making it sound like they're right here with us. So we can capture that love of diving and share it with you more efficiently. That's what the whole goal is. And, you know, it's partly for our own amusement as well. And one of the first live mics that I set up was in South Florida at the Gomez Hilton with my good buddy Walt DeMartini, and he joins us on Scuba Radio right now. Walt, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. And how are you, my friend?
I'm good. You know, we're capturing every little nuance there at the Gomez Hilton, and that's basically Walt's home. But, you know, there's a lot of people that come through there in the dive industry that hang out with Walt when they're in South Florida, so you never know who he might have, you know, crossed paths with this week, and I figured it's worth checking in with, you know, and who knows? It might be a dive industry person. It might be a professional dancer from South Florida. We don't know. We don't care. It's just as entertaining regardless. Right, Walt?
It certainly is. Listen, buddy, I got a new nuance here at the Gomez Hilton.
What do you mean?
We
a
have
new amenity?
A new amenity. We have the SS Banana Wind.
The SS Banana Wind. I'm almost afraid to ask, but what could that possibly be?
It stands for the Super Sub Banana Wind. And what I had to do was move two banana trees to put it in so you could see it. I'm going to be sending you some pictures real soon of it.
Okay.
It's my old gas tank holder. And we've painted it up like a yellow submarine.
Oh,
and,
okay. You told me about this little project you're working on. Now, Walt has quite the landscape. He has a pool on the intercoastal down there in South Florida. The guy's living the dream, let's face it. But he has this pool out there, and you have gas heat for the pool and your showers in the house, I guess. And you have one of these big white gas containers that hold your propane, I guess, right?
That's correct. It used to be white. Right now it's yellow. It's got a propeller on it.
Nice.
And four portholes, three down the side and one up on the conning tower. It's got a you've got to see it, Greg.
Well, it looks like a yellow submarine, I'm guessing, or it's starting to take shape in that form.
It does. It looks. It's just fantastic. I haven't been able to get into it yet, and don't think I will be able to. But it's great to look at.
It is a working propane tank, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Unless
the
paint ate into the aluminum.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering if there's any codes being violated. But hey, you know, we don't have codes at the Gomez Hilton. I think you have amnesty when it comes to that kind of thing. You think, Walt?
I hope so. I really hope so.
We'll go with that for sure. Have you had the dry martini out there on the water lately?
We had it over here for a couple weeks and replaced a water pump on it, which is normal, in the generator. And then we left it in the water just a little bit too long. It's got no bottom paint on it, so the bottom got a little messed up. We had to get it back to the marina and get the bottom scraped. And but that's, you know, that's the boating world, which you know about.
Well, of course, yeah. And but, you know, really, I'm trying to get to the point. Have you been out there trying to go after any of these lobsters? I haven't gotten any reports the last couple weeks because I've been traveling. So I've been wondering if that first storm that went through South Florida a few weeks ago, if it stirred up the lobsters and made the lobster hunting a little bit more, well, I don't know, interesting for the local sport divers. Have you been getting any reports from your friends down there or no?
Honestly, Greg, I haven't. I haven't been out, and I haven't talked to any of the people locally here. My buddy Koji is up doing a treasure hunting thing up in Sebastian Inlet.
Really?
With the 1715 fleet. Yeah, the Japanese Public Service Television, NHK, I think they're doing a shoot up there.
Yeah.
And he's my one lead lobster guy.
Right, exactly. Koji also is a world-class sushi chef. Which comes in handy when you're out on Walt's boat, trust me. But he can catch the lobsters, and he can fix up the sushi for you as well. But you're saying he's actually going for treasure off Sebastian right now?
Yeah, they're working that 1715 fleet. They've chartered boats. They've chartered submarines. That's why I got the yellow submarine all tuned up for him. But he said, no, I can't take that one.
Yeah, that one might explode. It's full of propane. Probably not the best, best vehicle to use out on the water right now. But I don't know. Some of that stuff is, I mean, is that public knowledge, or is this kind of like you're not really supposed to tell us about that unless you kill us all kind of thing?
No, they're working a legal thing with the state of Florida and with archaeologists, and they had worked on it once before, I think about a year ago or something. In fact, it was just prior to the last DEMA, because I was looking at some subs for him at the last DEMA in Orlando.
Ah, okay. Some of those ROVs, those remote vehicles you're talking about, right?
No, he was looking actually for the two-man subs, the ones you climb on the back of and then the ones you go inside. But they're working in shallow water. I don't know why they needed the subs to get around.
Well, it's government money probably, and they figured, hey, why not? Let's blow, you know, 50 grand on one of these things, right?
Right, I guess so.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Are they using, like, metal detectors, underwater metal detectors and things like that, too, or do you know?
Yes, they are. I haven't spoken to him at any great length about it, but he called me up and needed the name of some archaeologists from South Florida, and I gave him a couple names, a couple of the guys who work with the Fisher Group. Last year, they were working with Bob Marks, and I don't think that went off so well up there with working with Bob.
Really? He's quite a character. Yeah, Bob is like, I don't know, he's like the king of the treasure hunters, but he's, I don't know, a salty dog, so to speak, I guess, right? Is that a fair...
The king of the pirate treasure hunters.
Yeah, exactly. So he may not have cared as much about the archaeology part of it as like, hey, surrender the booty or something. Who knows? And that could mean many things when you're talking about Bob. And I mean that in a very complimentary way because I don't want him to come after me with a musket. All right,
buddy. Well, listen, it's great talking to you. And I'll stay in touch with you and give you constant updates on what's happening here at the Gomez Hilton East.
Absolutely. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I thought I had seen all the wonders of the deep.
I thought I had known all the beauty of the shore.
But here at last, where our two worlds meet,
I finally felt my true heart soar.
I feel brand new.
I feel so free.
I feel an increased flow of mucus in my fish genitalia.
I feel like I've never... Whoa, 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 whoa. What was that?
I said, I feel an increased flow of mucus in my fish genitalia.
I'm not following.
Well, you see, when I feel this way about somebody so special, I release extra slime to lubricate the scaly membrane that closes off my egg sac. So now my heart...
No, 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 wait, 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 well, no, hey, hang on a second. You mean to tell me that down there you've got fish business going on?
What'd you expect, silly?
But wait, when you get up on land, you grow legs, right?
Of course I do.
Oh, thank God.
Yep, the legs turn human. But believe you me, baby, the hoo-ha's all mackerel.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
All right, so my dive buddy Phil there from earlier in the show mentioned he had that issue with his inflator hose free-flowing at 80 feet. You know, one of the ways he could have avoided that situation or had another backup way to protect himself from, an equipment malfunction is to carry a spare air. And Vince is on Scuba Radio right now to help us explain this technology and this little, accessory that every diver should be diving with these days. Vince, how are you, buddy?
Great. How are you doing, Greg?
I am good. Are you looking forward to our trip in Ceiba here in a couple weeks? I know you are, right?
With all the talk you've been talking about it, and all the you went there just last week, and I heard the interviews, and I'm more excited now than ever.
Yes, well, I'm anxious to go back too, and we're going to take some spare airs down there to the Lesser Antilles and do some diving around Ceiba, and we'll cover it accordingly on the big show. However, I want to talk about another testimonial that you guys have just received. You get these all the time, by the way, where people have found themselves in a predicament where they needed their spare air, which is really just a backup air supply system, but it's always pretty rewarding for you guys to get these kind of letters to say, hey, this thing ended up saving my life. Am I right?
Yeah, it's very gratifying to work here because we're almost like GoPro. GoPro cameras gets tons of videos people send them.
Right.
They don't even have a marketing department. They just show these videos of all the ideas people had to use their product. Same thing with us. You know, we just get people constantly sending letters into us and telling us how they're using it and how it saved their life or how it saved a friend of theirs' lives. It's pretty gratifying. You know, our product could save somebody's father, mother, brother, or sister.
So absolutely.
It's kinda cool.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that if you're a good diver, you'll never run out of air. You should never run out of air. But you know what? Just like Phil, being a dive master in his dough for many, many years, God forbid something goes wrong with your equipment. His inflator hose popped off and started free-flowing at 80 feet. Things happen. And I know you've gotten a letter that we're going to share today from a guy who went diving in Cozumel. And what happened to him exactly there, Vince?
Well, he was an experienced diver. He had over 400 log dives and... He always knew he should have had some sort of redundant air supply system, so finally he decided to buy a spare air. And fortunately, it just arrived before he left for his trip.
Yeah, he was going to Cozumel, is that right?
Right. He liked to shore dive a lot, and he wanted to go see some rays off the coast. And he swam out, he got there, and he waited for the rays to arrive. They finally arrived, and he just dropped down a little bit. He dropped down to 4 or 5 feet, and all of a sudden he got swept over this a little cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And he got pushed down. He just kept getting sucked down.
Yeah, and one of these famous Cozumel down currents that I've heard about. Yeah,
yeah.
I've read about these things many times, and they can be kind of scary. You get caught in one of these things, and next thing you know, he's down in like 100 feet deeper than he expected to be, or something. Is that what happened?
Right. Yeah, I guess he said he felt. I guess he said he got down to 200 feet. He grabbed the wall to stop. He kept putting air in his BC, mm-hmm. but he was so excited, you know, that he didn't realize he was just blowing out through the valves.
Right,
he was overfilling it, and it was just blowing out through the valves, and he wasn't stopping.
Yeah.
By the time he realized that, he was down to like just he only had like about 100, 200 PSI left.
Wow.
And so he started clawing his way up the wall, and finally he realized he ran out of air out of his main supply, but he had just gotten the spare air, and he deployed it, and he stopped. He did something you taught me. He stopped, he thought, and he reacted, and he remembered he had it.
And it ended up saving his life.
Yeah, it got him. It didn't get him all the way up before a round of air, but it did get him closer to the surface where he was able to free ascent from that depth fairly safely.
Well, there you go. And of course, he wrote the company a letter to thank them, and was pretty grateful that he had invested in a spare air and added it to his accessories of dive gear. And
yeah, you know, just amazing. Yeah.
You know, that is so cool. And I know you guys have just tons of these letters that you get. And it's just one of those type of products that, God forbid, hopefully you'll never need it. But, man, you come into a situation where you do, you'll be very thankful. And you'll be just like this guy writing him a letter, exactly. Hopefully, that it saved your life. And, hey, there's all kinds of other uses for these things, whether you're cleaning your boat or need to jump underwater real quick and just need a few breaths of air. Really cool items, these spare air, spareair.com. Vince, look forward to seeing you in Saba here in a couple weeks. We will have a ball. I know you're ready, right?
I can't wait, man. You got me all psyched for this.
Well, there you go. I am too. And look, we got another hour of Scuba Radio on deck. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We got a aqua station band. Each little clown here, no aqua jam here under the sea. Each little slug here, cutting a rug here under the sea. Each little snail here, know how to whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the mud here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.